Okay, let's pray. Lord, bless our study. Thank you for just the ability to share our lives with one another. And I just pray that you would help discipline of gospel sharing so that we may yet be more like the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. Man alive. What's our oldest granddaughter? So we have kids that are older than some of our kids. This is Lydia. Esther's, yeah. So getting old. Excellent. Hey, look at your notes there. We're asking the question, what is evangelism? The word evangelism is used actually quite anymore. The word evangelist anyway. Usually it's a kind of a high-level salesperson. You're a product evangelist. Jim, have you heard that in your realm at all? It isn't the computer realm. Microsoft will have people that are product evangelists. I'm like, well, that sounds kind of sacrilegious. But really, it's just someone telling the good news about something. That's what that is. There's two words, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but euangelion. I guess I'll read it a little. You've seen this before, so to most of you it's old information. But you is the Greek word for good. We get eulogy. The eulogy is to say something good about somebody, usually at their funeral. Okay? And then angelion, what do you see in there? Yeah, angel, and it comes from the same word, but this is good message. An angel, by definition, is a messenger, okay? So, it's the good message. So, and at one time I knew that English made into God's spell or something like that, but it's the good, that's where the word gospel translates euangelion, which is the first word in your notes. It's the good news. That's all it means. When you hear the word gospel, it means good news. That's all it means. Euangelion is good news, okay, or good message. And then there's the verb form. That's the noun form, euangelion. So that's a noun, person, place, or thing, right? Or idea. And then there's the verb form. And it's euangelizomai. That is to share or to tell the good news. And that's where we get the word evangelize. For what the word evangelize is transliterated. Translate it, you just take the letter and change it into an English form of a letter, okay? I'm trying to think of a word that we do that with. Well, amen is like that. It just, you take the same, the Greek, amen, amen, a, and it's the same. Hallelujah today. They use EU instead of U to V. I'm not sure why. Maybe it flows better. That's an A. Evangelize. Okay? To evangelize. That just means, again, to share the good news. Okay? That's the terms that we get, the Greek terms that are used in the Bible. Galion and euangelizomai. You don't really need to know the words, but just to give you a little bit of a background on what they mean. What exactly is good news? Okay, we're supposed to be sharing good news. And by the way, us telling is not bad news, it's good news. We find that out. What exactly is the good news or the gospel? We find that in 1 Corinthians 15. That's in your notes. Let me read that for you here. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel. Well, what word would that be? Euangelion, right? We declare to you the gospel, the good news, which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which is preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. I don't see any eraser. Susie, you want to go grab me an eraser in the other room? There's four parts to this in this passage, starting at verse 3. Okay? Let's break these down and write them down. I'll try and write them right here, okay? I have four lines here. What are the four parts that are talked about in the gospel? We'll break it down even simpler here. Let's say a little more about it. Whose death? Christ. Death, right? Christ died for our sins. And then it says what? Along right behind that, it says what? According to the Scriptures. In other words, it was foretold that Jesus would die for our sins. Old Testament, even from Genesis on. Number two, what happened next? Okay, and He was buried. Number three. Okay, He rose again the third day. And then what? What's it say? Got it again? I'm writing this on purpose for a reason. You don't necessarily have to write all this, but it'll make sense when we get there. According to the Scriptures, He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And then number four, then. Okay, He who in the world is Cephas? This is a translation of the name for Peter. Okay, so you can... He was seen by Peter. Then by the 12. The 12. And then I believe it even goes... He was seen by 500 people. Okay, so he was... So notice, Christ, He was buried, He rose again the third day, He was seen by Cephas, then the 12, and then by the 500, okay? Now, I have a quote out of a book here that I want to read, because I thought I put it pretty well. It's in your notes. If you want to follow along there, it's right below those four lines. This is from a book called Evangelism by a guy named G. Michael Kokoris. And just follow his logic. It's good. In verses 1 and 2, Paul says he's about to declare to them the gospel. By 3 to 5, he defines that gospel. He explains what he means by these verses say four things about what we've listed. He died for our sins, He was buried, He arose, and He was seen. Twice, Paul adds the phrase, according to the Scriptures. Basic elements of the gospel are died for our sins and Christ rose from the dead. Those are the two keys. Christ was buried and Christ was seen. And he answers that question. The answer is that His burial is proof of His death. Does that make sense? And His appearances are proof that He rose again, of His resurrection. Whatever else evangelism is, it has to do with the death and resurrection of Jesus. So the bottom line is, He was buried and he was seen. These two key components. So when we talk about people, again, he was resurrected. Those are the two key gospel. When Paul shares the gospel, he talks about Jesus dying and rising again. He was buried as this proof. Here. Of that. And he was seen as proof of that. Okay, he rose again. He was proof that he died. He was seen as proof that he rose again. People saw him. People died proclaiming that, okay? Now, questions or comments to this point? Go ahead. Yes. Remember they replaced they voted to replace him. You never hear about Matthias again. Some people say, well, Paul was the one that God chose. He actually saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. So, yes, good question. Any other questions? More discussion about grandkids? Okay, let's move on. Power of the gospel. We have the definition of the gospel. What is the good news? It's the good news that Jesus died for sin. His payment paid for all of our sins. He rose again to prove that he was who he says he was. He's the Son of God, not just some guy that got in the wrong place at the wrong time, right? He's the Son of God, and he was foretold, according to the Scriptures, all the way back in the beginning in the book of Genesis onward, that he would come and save the world. Okay? Now let's talk about the power of the gospel. I'll erase some of this. The power of the gospel. Romans 1:16. There's a lot more in Romans 1. We're just going to look at that one verse. But Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. What's the word gospel mean again? Good news, excellent, of Christ, the good news of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. I just basically put down 3 points to break that down, okay? First, what we want to say here is, what's the topic? We kind of said it. But Paul said, I'm not ashamed of what? Yeah, the gospel of... By itself, the gospel is implied, if you know who you're talking to, but good news can be a lot of things, right? You know, we got lots of good news. Your grandson is 18 today. Works at Bebop's as a cashier. You know, he's 18. It's good news. And working at Bebop's is good news, too. But this is the gospel of Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the topic. Okay. And then the second thing here is characteristic. I call it the characteristic. I'll just put C-H-A-R. But it is what? The power of God, and I'm going to put in parentheses, to salvation. The gospel is what saves. Okay? It's what allows people to be saved. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God to salvation. And then we have number 3. I call it the participants. Who will it work for? To everyone who believes, and from a physical standpoint, the world broken up into 2 groups of people, Jews and the Greeks, right? Either you're Jewish or you're not Jewish. That's basically the way that is. But it says to the Jews first and also to the Greeks. So if you're not a Jew, you're a Greek. Okay? To break it down that way, that's one. So to everyone who believes. So what it's the topic is, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's what enables people to be saved. And who is in that group that can be saved? Everyone who, what? Believes. It's not a working, because we can't work to do it, because we don't have any way to earn that. We're already sinful. We're sinners. That's why we need to be saved or rescued, right? Because we're already drowning in our own sins, so to speak. So the gospel of Christ, the power of God, everyone who believes. Questions or comments there? Right? So that's, when we talk about evangelism, we're talking about the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. He died for our sins and rose again. And the gospel allows people to be saved. And it's everyone who believes. It doesn't matter what your ethnic background is, Jew or Greek, or any other thing. It's anyone, everyone who believes. Next slide. The next slide. The only other slide is... On your notes here, evangelism, I have a little bit of a math problem here. Notice here, evangelism equals, some of you already wasn't your thing, all right, but equals proclaiming the gospel, telling people the gospel, plus the purpose of inviting people to believe, okay? So here's information and intention, if you will. Telling people, then inviting people to believe it, okay? Here's the information. We challenge you to believe that information. What's the information? Christ died for us. Rose again, okay? In a nutshell. Let's look at some of the passages here that involve or relate to this. Okay, it's telling the information. Acts 14. Multitude. Living God. Views to the living God who made heaven, the earth, the sea, and all the currently believe in and believe. Stone him then, okay. Well, if you're not God, then we don't like you anymore. But that you should turn from these useless things of the living God. You might want to underline that part. That you should turn from these useless things to the living God. By the way, and they identify God as the creator who made the heaven and earth, sea, and all. But you should turn from the useless things. disciples, follow me and I will teach you of men. Now the idea of fishing. Anyone here do any fishing?
Yeah.
I love fishing and I go fishing every 20 years. I enjoy fishing. I just life allowed me to go fishing much. But as a kid in the summer, I would ride down to Crawford Park in Fort Dodge and go fish for chub minnows and crawdads. Every day I go fishing. When you go fishing, the goal isn't to feed fish, is it? Well, some people, yeah, it's like you have days where you feel like the fish are well fed, but you are not. But you don't go there with the intent to see how many night crawlers that you don't just throw them in the pond, right? Or the lake or the stream. What do? Your goal is to catch the fish. And that's the implication here that Jesus is saying. The goal isn't to just go out and be among the fish. The goal is to catch fish. And these fish are whom? Here. Men, right? You'll be fishers of men. You don't go out fishing without the intention of catching these fish. Now that's a metaphor. You know, they're not really hooking anybody. Though people have probably tried to beat people with heavy Bibles in the past or something. The idea is that your goal is to come back with fish. The goal is to tell people the gospel and to see people believe that gospel. Okay? There's more that you can carry on with the metaphor of fishing, but Paul says it's him talking about Jesus. Jesus we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Paul had the intent that everyone he talked to would ultimately be a believer and be a follower of Jesus Christ. So, and he warns every man. Warning is the idea that we want you to do something different than you are. That's the proverbial sign with the bridge that's out. Or there was a fire. What, on the south side? A big apartment fire just this last weekend. Destroyed 30-some apartments. But it's like, the idea is, and you know what? I'd like to tell you about fire. You knock on the door, and it's like, I'd like to tell you about fire. This is the chemical makeup of fire and all that. And, and by the way, the apartment is on fire. You don't tell people that just so that they can be informed and go back to bed. You tell them so that why? They can flee the fire. Yeah. When you warn people, you're warning them. I think every time I go to work every day, I go on the Northeast Mixmaster, you know, and it's like it says 25 miles an hour around that loop. And it's like, you know, some people don't heed that warning. It isn't just so you can, you know, practice your numbers. The idea is that if you go too fast, you will slide off that roundabout there. Okay? Warning implies a change of action. And that we're proclaiming the gospel so that people change their minds. Not just proclaiming the gospel, but with the invitation to change your mind, to believe something different than they're believing. This next passage, 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21, brings it out in more detail. Paul says this, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. What's an ambassador? Les, what's an ambassador? What would you say is an ambassador? If Les is an ambassador, what's he doing? Well, an ambassador isn't necessarily someone that pleads with others, though here it is. Yeah, you represent somebody else, right? We send an ambassador to China. If Les becomes our ambassador to China and we send him over there, Les is not going for Les. Les is going for us. He's representing us. Well, the Bible says we are ambassadors. What's it say there? For Christ. We are Christ's representatives, to use Annie's term. We are representing Jesus. And what is our job here? It says, as though God were, what's the word? Pleading through us. It isn't just information, but we are pleading with people. What's it say here? It's as though Christ were, God were pleading through us, and then you can put this in quotes. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. It's like quoting. That's our words. We're representing God, and we're saying, get right with God. That's what being reconciled is. You're getting right with God. God has done everything that He can do. You need to get right with Him. He sent Jesus to die for your sins. And it's true. It's validated. Everything is true. You're in your sin. You need to get right with God. And it goes on to say this. Be reconciled to God. For He, God the Father, made Him, Jesus, God the Son, who knew no sin, right? Jesus was sinless, the sinless Son of God. He made Him who knew no sin to be what? Sin for us, right? Christ died for our sins. He didn't become the righteousness of God in Him. What's the opposite of sinfulness? It's righteousness. The Bible says we're sinners, so we're sinful. And what we need to be right with God with is to be righteous. If we're sinners, we're already condemned. We can't be right with God on our own. If you are condemned, what can you do to be right? Nothing. Because you're already guilty. You can't remove that guilt. So, and it has to be paid for. So He took your good news, right? He died for our sins. We deserved it, but He took it, right? He died for our sins, and He rose again. He paid it completely. It's all done and paid for. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. What happens is that Jesus takes our sin and our guilt. And guess what? God says, now that that's paid for, I'm going to give you, not only is your sin gone, but now I'm going to give you Jesus' righteousness. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God through Him. My illustration, it's simple, but I think it works. Anyone here ever go to school? Ever? You ever get a report card that you didn't want to show your parents, maybe? Okay. Skip the part that you don't want to show your parents. But think this way. No matter how good you are, the Bible says you're a sinner. And in order to get an A, you can't have any sin. And you have to be perfectly good, perfectly righteous, right? If you have any sin, there's any part of you that's not good or have any sin at all, you've ever told a lie, you get an immediate F. It's kind of pass or fail. And the Bible says that we're all sinners, so we all fail. Got it? That puts us all in the same group, doesn't it? At least it's kind of fair that way, I guess. So we fail because we've sinned. We're not good. So, What does Jesus do? He takes our F, pays for our F, if you will, and then gives us His A. Is it our A? It's our A, not because we earn it, but because it's our A because He gave it to us. So in that sense, it's our A. But that's that we become the righteousness, the goodness of God through Jesus. Jesus gives us His righteousness. So He pays all for all of our sin. He died. God had to punish sin somehow. So He said, I'll send my Son to die and pay for your sin because it has to be paid for. But He guess what? It's paid for. And then, if you believe on Jesus, I'll give you His righteousness, and we can be reconciled. Right? Not because you or I did anything. Right? I'm still that sinner, that unworthy one, that one not good person. But that's not how God sees you, right? He sees you from Jesus A, Jesus righteousness. And that's what salvation's all about. We can be right with God again, not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus has done, and because we, what? Believe on that, right? That's good news. All right. Here's another quote from this Michael Kokoris. Evangelism, then, is communicating the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, with the immediate intent of converting the hearer to faith or belief in Christ. Faith is another word for belief in Christ. Same idea of believing here. And with the ultimate intent of instructing the convert in the Word of God so that he can become a mature believer. Okay? So evangelism is with the intent of giving information with the intent of converting somebody, warning them, encouraging them, pleading with them to believe. All right, one last passage. Well, actually, two, I guess. The last one's kind of short. But Romans 10, 14 through 17. This is the process of evangelism. Kind of a high-altitude overview, but it's still true. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith or belief comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So what we want to do is look at this list that's here. It's another list, okay, that's part of the process of evangelism, telling other people the good news with the intent of seeing them converted, all right? Number one, how then shall they... call. So number one is call. How shall they call on Him? By the way, the word call can be translated pray. Okay, you can put that maybe in parentheses. That's not someone being saved, by the way. And I'll prove that with the next one. You're not saved by praying, right? Because you can pray all day and it doesn't get you saved, right? Because you're a sinner. The issue is your sin. Right? Okay. Praying is what people who believe do. Right? Part of the family, and you talk to your father then, right? How do they call on Him in whom they have not what? What? How shall they call on Him in whom they have not, what's it say in your passage? Believed. Right? And that makes sense. Some people say you have to pray to be saved. It's like, well, you can't pray. What Paul says, you can't pray to someone that you don't already believe in. Does that make sense? Belief has to come before praying. Praying is for believers. If that makes sense. So, and you're saved by believing, not praying. Get that? Get that? It's not saying some magic words. A lot of people are told, pray this prayer and you're saved. Well, they don't know anything about Jesus. They don't know about their sin or whatever. And they pray something and someone says, well, you're saved. I was like, well, what if they haven't believed? Are they saved or not? If they prayed, well, it's not saying words. It's believing, right? That's what it says. So how shall they call Him in whom they have not believed? That's where they're saved, by the way. Okay. Whom they have not right? They have to hear before the gospel, the good news of Christ is the power of God to salvation. But if you never hear the good news, you can't believe in the good news. So these are logical. Or how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How should they hear in him in whom... what does it say? How should they hear without a preacher? So I'm going to put preach, and I'm going to put... Don't think of it as someone behind a pulpit. It's proclaim. You can proclaim to your family, your neighbors, or whatever. You're telling people. Okay? Evangelism can happen from the pulpit, but most of the time in the Bible, evangelism happened outside of a church building, not inside of a church building. People go to their houses and share the gospel. They preach. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Now that has to do with sending out people to proclaim outside of our area, right? So, but here's the logic. You send someone to preach so that people can hear and therefore believe and then do what believers do. Okay? That's the logic there. And then it goes back, in case there's any confusion, the last verse in that paragraph says, so then, faith or belief comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You have to teach what God says is true about Jesus. The Word of God. Okay? So salvation comes through belief. So faith comes by hearing. You have to tell. There's some people that say, well, I'll be a good person, and therefore my good works will lead people to Jesus. Well, no, it won't. You need good works to verify who you are, but you're not going to be perfect, right? But what's the power of God to salvation? Your works? It's the gospel, right? People cannot get saved. You can be as good as you want, the best neighbor in the world, shovel their walks, mow their lawn, do whatever, which is good. But unless you proclaim the good news, they can't be saved. Get saved. You can't get saved without hearing the gospel. Last one, and then I'll ask for questions. The ultimate result of evangelism, and I, ultimate result, evangelism is proclaiming with the purpose of converting, trying to persuade people, maybe not persuade the right word, but inviting people to change their mind. The ultimate result is God. No one responds, are you evangelizing? The answer is yes. Are you proclaiming with the intent of inviting people to believe? That's evangelism. You have no control over the results except the fact that you are sharing the gospel. If you don't share the gospel, I can guarantee your results. You will get no results. But the Bible says here, God gave the increase. He's the one that works in people's hearts to help them understand their need to believe. We'll talk more about that later, but the results are not up to you. The actions are. Okay? Questions or comments? Additions, deletions, corrections, enhancements. So what's the gospel? The good news of Jesus Christ, that for our sins, according to the Scriptures, rose again. What are we? It's the power to salvation. That's what will allow people to be saved. To everyone who believes, we're to proclaim the gospel with the purpose not just of giving them information, but encouraging them to believe that. And notice they have to hear the word in order for them to be saved. They cannot be saved apart from that information and invitation. All right? So what are we going to talk about next week? I don't know yet. It's not next week yet.
There you go.
Yeah, and the bigger question is, what are we going to have for treats next Sunday? But let's close in prayer. No, I don't know. I just show up and enjoy when I can. So, but not when I'm teaching. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, our sin bearer. Lord, I pray that we would be proclaiming this because it is good news, and that we would do it in a way that is skillful and accurate, and that we would encourage people to believe on Jesus rather than believing in their own goodness or in some other false religion. And I just thank you that you had other people tell us so that we might believe. Again, help us to be evangelists that share the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.